this year, we're excited about Christmas, and we're excited about Christmas at Two Rivers, and we hope that you will kind of get dialed in and find out what's going on. We're going to have virtual options for just about everything if you're still watching from home, and we're glad to provide that for you. Let me just say, as you're looking in your Bible or your Bible app, turn to Luke chapter 1. We're going to get there in a few minutes, but let me just say, last week, I took a Sunday off from preaching, and Micah, our new youth minister, he's not so new, he's been here several months now, preached for me, did a great job, and we're thankful for him. He's doing a great job with the kids. He's a lot prettier than I am, a lot younger, so I'm feeling a little bit, you know, my job security, I guess he could just take over at some point, but we're really thankful for he and all of our staff. I don't know if you noticed when you came in, but there is some painting that's happened. Anybody? I guess a few people have a personality that could walk right in and not notice that it had been painted. But all of our children's spaces have been painted. The foyer's been painted, both sides. The orange is going to be kind of our indication for elementary school kids, and our green is for our preschool kids. That'll be kind of back over here. By the end of the month, we think that we're going to have new carpet in those areas. And then by January, maybe middle of January, we'll get our foyer fully complete and done. And so that's some of the renovations we've been talking about. And so far, so good. Looks really good. And I like the smell of fresh paint, don't you? Like, just smells clean and fresh. So hopefully you got a little bit of that. It's not quite as Christmassy. You know, it's more renovation smell, you know, but it is kind of Christmassy. But I also want to thank our team, especially Greg, for working really hard to get the set together for Christmas. It looks really good. And it's always fun to me. I like change. I like when things change a little bit. And so Christmas is one of those things. Let me just, though, encourage you not to, it's going to be sort of subliminal for you to try to play Words with Friends or Scrabble on your phone during service today. Let me just encourage you to listen. No, I'm just kidding. I know Bobby McCoy is playing Words with Friends no matter what he's doing, so hopefully, Debbie, you can ask him to put that down for a couple minutes. Don't forget tonight, Jingle Jam. It kind of kicks off our Christmas month leading up to Christmas Eve. 6 p.m. tonight, we're going to do it virtually, and you are also welcome to be here. It's for kids, but it's also for our whole church family. It's going to be really, really fun. I was given a note to say something about our Star Tree. We're always... Our attitude towards things that we do in the community is, if we can, we will. And we were given this week 5 more kids from one of the schools that just got the kids' names and stuff in this week. And so we're going to try. We're going to do our best. So I'm asking you to maybe take one more star. I think what is on the tree in the foyer is what we have left. And so if we could get those today and bring them back by next Sunday, we're going to have a big celebration. We're going to pray for all of those families and children that will hopefully have a little bit better Christmas because of your generosity this year. So that's Star Tree. And then again, Greg mentioned Christmas Eve. We're going to have 3 services, 4 o'clock, 5:30, and 7. Now, I hope that Jingle Jam tonight is going to be a part of helping you, and especially our elementary and preschool age kids, kind of get in the Christmas spirit, right? It's about that time of year that kids start to get a little antsy. Have you noticed, parents, your kids are getting a little amped up about Christmas? There's decorations out. You know, we see images of Santa. It's kind of right after Thanksgiving, the focus turns to Christmas, and there's an excitement, and really for the kids, right? A lot of the kids, and I can remember getting excited about a certain toy or something that I was hoping to get for Christmas. I'm of a certain age that there were literal catalogs that you could go, like a Sears catalog. Anybody else as old as I am? Yeah, Micah made point of how old I was last week, so I appreciate that. But because I'm old, I remember the Sears catalog. You could look through the toy section, and my mother would always ask me to write a wish list of the things that I wanted. Anybody else? Write a wish list, and sometimes we would write that and send it to Santa, and that would really keep building the excitement. And there's a lot of talk right now about Santa around this time of year, and that only serves to build more excitement. And let me just say, you know, parents and kids, I know most of the kids are in their classes, you know, there is a good list and there's a naughty list. So you kind of got to watch yourself right now. This is one of my favorite videos I saw for the first time last year. I'm going to play it every year as long as I'm the preacher here. It really gets me in the Christmas spirit. Let's watch this.
Hey. You aren't actually. That's why you're on the naughty list.
I will swear, trust me.
Well, that's why you're on the naughty list, because you're being naughty right now. So you're going to be on the naughty list if you keep talking like that.
No, because Father Christmas is not being very nice to me.
Because you're being naughty, so you're on the naughty list.
Where?
You aren't absolutely. That's why you're. That's why you're on the naughty list.
I will swear. Trust me.
Well, that's why you're on the naughty list because you're being naughty right now. So you're gonna be on the naughty list if you keep talking like that.
No, because Father Christmas is not being very nice to me.
Because you're being naughty, so you're on the naughty list.
No, I'm not. I'm on the good list actually.
You're not because you're not because you ain't being good.
I am on the good list. If you keep saying that word again and again and again, I'm not on naughty list.
Father Christmas rang me last night when I was at work and said, you better tell Jackson to start being a good boy or he's going to stay on the naughty list and he won't get no presents for Christmas. That's what he said to me. So you got to start being a good boy.
Then I will do an uppercut to him.
No, you won't do it. No, what?
I'm going to punch him. Punch his beard off.
You're just silly, man.
Hey, trust me. I'm not on bad list.
You're on the naughty list, mate.
No, I'm not.
So, my favorite video. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. I'm going to uppercut Santa, right? Punch his beard off. Seems appropriate to me. What's funny is to me is he stumped the dad at a certain point. I'm going to punch his beard off, and the dad didn't know what to say to that. So, some of our traditions, like a Santa at your house maybe, they build excitement. And I hope that Uppercut Santa is one of those things that, as I show this every year, will build excitement because we know that it's Christmas time. We do, though, don't we? We put up Christmas trees in our house. We put lights out in our yard. We buy presents for each other, and we start to make those presents start to make their way under the tree. Each piece, right, each tradition helps build in the excitement and helps build in the anticipation. But what if what you were wishing for Christmas didn't appear, right? What if on Christmas morning what you hoped for wasn't under the tree? Would you still have joy? Would you still believe in Christmas? I want to take us back to the prophet Malachi, who wrote this in chapter 3 of his prophecy. God said through Malachi, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you're seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So Malachi predicts, God predicts through Malachi, his prophet, that someone will come, a messenger who will prepare the way for the Lord. Can you imagine the excitement? The anticipation, God's people, Israel, gets this word from Malachi, the prophet, that the Messiah is coming, that there's going to be this messenger. And Malachi speaks about this long-awaited Messiah that will come to this world. The Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, which was in Jerusalem. And he will be announced by another messenger. And after this exciting news given to Israel, you know what happened next? Nothing. For 400 years, silence from God. What do you think the people were thinking? 400 years of silence. I was 7 years old in 1976. I don't remember a lot about that year, except it was the bicentennial year, right? 1776 to 1976, 200 years, marked the founding of the United States. There were lots of celebrations that year. I do kind of remember lots of red, white, and blue. There was a new quarter introduced. Some of you may still have one of those quarters in your pocket, though. I don't know where you spend them anymore because nobody takes real money. When you think about it, 200 years is a long time, isn't it? From 1776 to 1976, 200 years. Think about all of the things that happened. 13 colonies, right? These fledgling colonies in the New World in 200 years became 50 plus states. Things like electricity, automobiles, airplanes, the Wright brothers, radio, television, space travel, nuclear energy, nuclear weapons, all happened in that 200 year span. In 200 years, that fledgling little United States of America became a world superpower. It's a lot happened in 200 years, isn't it? So that kind of puts 400 years in perspective. God says through Malachi that the Messiah will come and there'll be a forerunner, there'll be a messenger that will announce his coming. Everybody gets all amped up and then guess what? Nothing for 400 years. Have you ever wished for something and you just didn't get it? This fall, Bonnie and I and our girls, we went to Iowa. My sister lives in Iowa. And it was my niece's wedding. And it was a beautiful ceremony. They held it outside at a conservation area that was near my sister and their family's home in very rural Iowa. And it wasn't exactly the wedding they had planned, but as we all know, COVID changes things, right? Plans change. But it did make me think about my niece. And I remember one Christmas, Bonnie and I went to Iowa to spend Christmas with my sister and her family, and my parents, I think, were there as well. And my niece was probably 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere in that range. And in our family, every family has a little different traditions. Like our family, the tradition is to open a present, or like I would open a present from my sister, you know, like family presents we do on Christmas Eve. Anybody else do that? Okay, all three of us. See, I thought that was the way it was done. And then Bonnie's family, they do nothing. I'm like waiting around. Is anybody, you know, like nothing's happening here? Nope, it's all tomorrow. So, and then, you know, like Santa was, in our family, it was all Santa on Christmas morning. So at my sister's house, that's what we did. And we're sitting around, and my sister had gotten a little something for each of their kids that they could open on Christmas Eve. And then we gave our presents to each other, my parents, and, you know, that kind of thing. And my niece, who just got married this fall, had a pretty big box to open. And you could tell, you know, she was in that range where she was really excited about Christmas. And apparently there was something that she was looking for. And she opens this box. And to be honest, it was a pretty nice clothes hamper. Like, I was kind of sweating it a little bit. I was like, man, that's kind of a nice place to put your clothes. And it had like a matching little waste paper basket that could go in your room. I mean, it was girl style because, you know, my niece is a girl. But I was like, that's kind of neat to have, you know, that thing. But it wasn't what my niece was expecting. It wasn't what she had wished for. And you could tell when she looked in there and it was a trash can and a clothes hamper that, you know, her lips started to quiver a little bit and the tears welled up in her eyes. And she kind of stomped out of the room and up the stairs. And as she was going up the stairs to her bedroom, she cried from up the stairs, "This is the worst Christmases ever." And my sister, in perfect Charlie Brown fashion, said, "Good grief," you know. And the best thing was, it was funny to me because it wasn't my kids, you know, like I got to enjoy the whole thing playing out there in front of us. And I think she was looking for rollerblades, and I'm pretty sure Santa came through the next day. But in that moment, she was really disappointed. You think the Israelites were disappointed when year after year, matter of fact, 400 years, God was silent? Isaiah had predicted it this way: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So for 400 years, there was radio silence. There was only darkness. God did not communicate with his people, but suddenly a light dawned. Down in verse 6, Isaiah continues, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The next communication after Malachi, so Isaiah had predicted this before, Malachi predicts it. The next communication after 400 years is recorded from God in the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bible, let's look at Luke, starting in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of the incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth." So after 400 years of silence, God speaks to this old priest named Zechariah. The angel Gabriel takes this message from God to Zechariah that he and his wife Elizabeth would be having a baby. I know Zechariah must have been thinking, after all these years, after all of this time, now, not only does God speak to me, what a wonderful thing, but my family will continue. Now, there's some irony here. After 400 years, God finally speaks to this priest, and afterward, the priest cannot speak. Look at verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." Notice he didn't call his wife old. That's smart. That's a smart guy. "I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Ladies, how many of you would have been glad if your husbands were unable to speak for your entire pregnancy? Would that have been maybe a good thing? 400 years of silence broken with the news of this messenger. And this new messenger of God, his name would be John. This John would announce the coming of the Messiah. Now, here's where I want us to lean in today. Isn't that what Malachi said would happen? And didn't it take 400 years? And don't you think there was some discouragement, maybe even disillusionment from the people? So how did the people of Israel stay focused for over 400 years? Because there was a promise. There was a hope. And in them, there was this wish. A wish is the hope of something yet to come. See, God promised and the people had hope. The people of God were sustained by a wish. Their hope was in the promise of God Almighty. And that wish came true. It took 400 years, but it came true. So think about this. How did that wish sustain 400 years in them? Like, I don't know that Zechariah was necessarily surprised by God coming to him or even by the announcement itself. He was surprised because there's an angel, an awe-inspiring angel. I mean, I love what Gabriel says. "I stand in the presence of God." He's scared by the presence of an angel, but it didn't surprise him. I gotta believe that he was more surprised that he and his wife and their at their age were gonna have a baby than he was that God was speaking to him through Gabriel. So how did that wish sustain for 400 years? Well, through tradition, passed down from generation to generation. Think about it. Where was Zechariah? He was at work in the temple. He was offering sacrifices before God, like the priest before him, and the priest before him, and the priest before him, all the way back to the time of Moses. Not just for 400 years, but for thousands of years, priests had been going to the temple or the tabernacle to prepare this worship for the people. You know, sometimes tradition gets kind of a bad rap, doesn't it? And I'll be the first to admit that I'm not hung up on traditions. I mean, look at me, right? I'm the preacher that likes sneakers, jeans, and a t-shirt, right, on Sundays. I'm not hung up on you have to do things a certain way. And I'm especially not hung up on what I would call man-made traditions, right? Sometimes our traditions become more important than the Bible itself. But some traditions are good. They should be passed on to the next generation. Good traditions have a way of grounding us. They sustain us through difficult times. When God seems to be silent, we rely on the consistency of our traditions to keep our focus on God. Let me give you an example. And for full disclosure, it's a little bit of a commercial. Christmas Eve services. Right? There's nothing in the Bible that says we have to have a service on Christmas Eve. That's our tradition. That's our choice based on what we like to do as Christians and certainly here at Two Rivers. And let me be clear, that's what makes it a tradition. If the Bible doesn't specifically say, do it this way, that would be more like a Bible mandate or thus saith the Lord, right? Then it's our tradition. And we're free to interpret some things and do some things that we enjoy that promote our faith as long as those things don't supersede the Bible itself. You following me? So Christmas Eve is not services. That's not a Bible mandate, but we sure do love that time that we get together. Right? It grounds us. It reminds us of what Christmas is all about. In the midst of a very commercial culture and messages of gift-giving only and Santa, Christmas Eve and Christmas at Two Rivers reminds us about what Christmas is all about. And whether you're planning to be here at one of our three services or to watch online, it's a beautiful tradition that we have. That's what it is. And let me just be clear. If something happens this year and we have to go to online only, that's not our plan. But as you know, this year changes, you know, just about weekly. Let me encourage you not to disconnect from that. Right? Do whatever we have planned. Do your best to maintain this good tradition in whatever format is available. You see, in Zechariah's day, the wish had been sustained by the traditions of God's people throughout the history of Israel. The older priest had passed down those traditions since God had given them to Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses' brother Aaron, the first high priest, and his son served with him in the tabernacle. The tabernacle, after several generations, became during Solomon's day, became the temple, and those traditions continued. Those rituals, those traditions carried the people of God through many seasons. And that brings us to our core verse for today. You thought I forgot about that, didn't you? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Paul says to his understudy or his protege as a mentor, Timothy, "The things you've heard me say, they don't end with you. Pass it on. Pass it down the line to the next generation. Pass it down the line to your children and to your children's children. Entrust this message to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." That's the Bible way. You see, God has always relied on faithful people to carry his message to the next generation. That's why I'm so excited about children's ministry here. I love our children's ministry team. I love the kids that are here. I love bright orange and green on the walls that draw kids and families in. Why? Because we're supposed to, that is a Bible mandate, to pass on the message, to instill, right, to the next generation. That's why I love the work that Mike is doing with our teens. I love that he's connecting with them and they're responding and they're hearing the message of God. Why? Because that's how we pass it on to the next generation. And parents, don't miss your responsibility in that with your kids to grow them to know the Lord, right? God has always relied on faithful people to carry his message to the next generation. Maybe that looks like from neighbor to neighbor, right? Starts in our families, but maybe it goes out into our neighborhoods and we pass that message on to someone else and they pass it on to someone else. Throughout the history of Israel, God used tradition and mentoring to keep his message moving forward to the next generation. Let me bring it full circle. The next time God spoke to mankind was only a few months later when an angel spoke to a girl named Mary. Look in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call his name Jesus." So God speaks to this young girl named Mary and promises to her a child that would be special. This child would be the fulfillment of all that God had promised, going all the way back to Abraham. This child would be the Messiah. Look at verse 39. It says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth." Mary gets this crazy news. You're going to become pregnant. There's more to the story by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have to explain it to your fiance, Joseph. So we send another angel to him. He agrees that God's in this. And she goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, remember, who's older, having her first child. I think there Mary stays and helps Elizabeth with that delivery. And then Elizabeth mentors Mary. Two very special children would be born. One would announce the coming of the other. John would announce Jesus, the Messiah. Let me encourage you to do this. Lean in to your traditions this year. Right? If there were ever a year that we need to be grounded by our faith, it's 2020. If you have children, be sure to include some good grounded traditions like gift giving. Like, remind them of this is why we do this. It reminds us of the Magi who brought gifts to the baby Jesus. Like the lighting of our Christmas trees and lights around our home, right? That reminds us that Jesus was the light that came into this darkness that Isaiah had spoken about. Get your kids involved in things like Jingle Jam tonight, right? Get them excited. Excited about Christmas, but excited about the message of Christmas that the Savior is born. And let me encourage everyone to be involved with Christmas at Two Rivers and Christmas Eve at Two Rivers. I think it's going to be a really special time. Invite others to share in these, our traditions, as a way to pass the message of Jesus on to someone else. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? "The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Jesus came into this world to be the light of the world, to dispel the darkness. And there are a lot of people who need that light right now. My question is this: will you be a part, through your traditions, through your being involved in what's going on, through your family and your neighborhood, will you be a part of passing the torch to someone else this year? Greg's going to come and lead us in a time of communion, another great tradition that we have. Not really a biblical mandate, but the early church got together, and when they did, they would have this meal together that represents Christ's body and the blood that he shed, the sacrifice that he gave. Because truthfully, Jesus was born, but his mission was death on a cross. So I'm going to pray. Greg's going to come lead us into this time of communion. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the excitement, the anticipation that's in the air. And Lord, we don't have to wait 400 years to hear and to see and to know the good news of Jesus. So Lord, help us to embrace that, embrace the traditions in our lives that might lead us to help someone else, to maybe mentor someone else to know Christ and to be called into his kingdom. Lord, what a great gift that would be this year for us to transfer our faith to someone else. It might be a simple invite. It might be an opportunity to invite someone to our homes for a Christmas meal. Lord, I just pray that whatever we choose, whether it's here at church or in our homes, in our neighborhoods, it would all point to Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
It's my hot boy show.